Happy Pride Month, Caitlin!
Happy Pride Month, Bernadette.
But it's have you done anything fun this month, Pride-related? Because it's like halfway through, and all I've done is, I guess, sitting around listening to audiobooks is kind of gay.
Well, I'm going to my first ever Pride this weekend.
Your first ever?
Mm-hmm. I've never been to one before.
Seriously? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting.
It's going to be fun.
I think my first was in middle school or high school.
Aw.
I couldn't tell you. But I remember it being a very wholesome affair. I think it had to do with it being kind of a smaller ceremony or kind of thing meant to include, like, families rather than a hard party.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very sweet.
That'll be fun. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
I'm very pumped.
What are you going to dress up real fun?
I hope so.
It's nice weather.
I hope so too.
It's alternated between like raining and horrible and like really, really nice. So hope you get one of the nice ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if it wasn't ridiculously hot, but I'd love if the sun was out.
I hope so too. Sorry, I was enjoying the slight pun there. Anyway, how's life?
Busy. Very, very unbelievably busy.
Well, time to sit down in this little stone house and relax for a little bit.
Yeah. We'll hang out.
Talk about a queer character from folklore.
Yeah.
We can all get behind that.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. Well, welcome to Stone Houses, an amateur guide to fiction, fable, and folklore. I'm Caitlin Bruder.
And I'm Laura Bernadette Meeker.
What are we talking about this week?
Loki!
Woohoo!
Everyone loves Loki.
Most people know Loki from, you know, the Marvel shenanigans, but we're going to talk about the origins, the original lore that Loki belongs in.
Loki origins. I don't know about you. I had, like, a period as a kid where I was really into Norse mythology, but...
Mm-hmm. I was very into Egyptian mythology.
Oh, I was also very into Egyptian.
Yeah, and Greek, too, but that was, like, I feel like everyone had, like, a Greek.
But you know where the Egyptian one came from for me was Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I'm extremely cool.
Mine came from, because you know those dragonology books? I had one about Egypt lore, too. That was where mine came from.
That's awesome. Yeah, I loved Norse stuff, but also, like, I had no awareness of the Marvel characters, so that was very confusing for me in, say, 2008 or so. But it's fun looking back at these and enjoying the mythological characters. Mm-hmm. Because they're really bonkers.
They've got a lot going on. Like most pantheons, they just have a lot going on.
And I think we've talked before about the idea, like, there's no one person sits down and writes a dictionary of all the mythology of a culture. Like, it develops organically, and things change over time, and different sections of the population come up with stories and embellish, so you can have characters that are probably the same person, but might not be.
Mm-hmm. Just adaptations.
Yeah.
From different locations, different groups that don't have as intensive connection and communication that we do now, that would have had their own kind of takes on things.
Yeah, I mean, people tell stories and enjoy different ones and add bits where people turn into birds and, you know, they have fun with it. Worth saying, Loki, only kind of a god in that he's not, he wasn't worshipped with his contemporaries. Like, people weren't saying, this is the story of Loki, who I love so much. That doesn't mean that he wasn't an important figure in his pantheon, which he really was.
He did a lot.
Integral. But as people paid homage to gods, they didn't pay them to Loki as they might have to Freya or Thor or Odin.
Which kind of, I mean, makes sense, because at the very, very beginning of what people, you know, can find of the stories, Loki was kind of a personification of hate. So, and like, kind of at one point was interpreted as a devil or a demon, or because we'll get into the mischief, but.
It's like if the devil was also invited to all your parties.
Exactly. So it kind of makes sense, because he had so much, like, negativity associated With his stories, it would kind of make sense that it wasn't like a major one that was, you know, worshipped and reveled. It was more of a piece of the stories.
Almost, I guess, trickster characters. I'm trying to think of similar trickster characters because the combination of something interesting that came up when I was researching this was the name Loki. People aren't sure exactly where it comes from, but they think it might have to do with the word for hair or tangle. Like lock.
Makes sense.
But one of the things that I thought was interesting about it was Loki being tangled, being web related, made me think of Anansi. Saying that right, if only because they're both trickster and spider gods, the spider, you know, metaphorically. But Anansi is almost like, he has, like, I'm trying to think of a Western equivalent, like, Promethean elements to it, where he helped humanity by taking stories for them. Like, he's mischievous, but he's slightly more helpful, I feel like.
I saw some connections drawn between Loki and, in some Native American stories, there is like a trickster coyote figure.
Yeah,
and I saw some comparisons kind of drawn between those. There are different coyote figures. There's like some helpful and benevolence, but there is one that I think, I feel like it's a common one, like the trickster coyote is a story that I feel like I've heard a lot of, and there are a lot of connections drawn between the kind of attitude of that coyote and Loki.
Yeah, so it's worth saying that while extremely important, Loki has some beneficial qualities. He's just mostly solving problems that he also made.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's a lot of...
And I like him a lot. He's just a real messy guy. And he's got a lot of stories to him. Do you want to hear some of them?
Absolutely.
So a lot of what we're referencing here is a collection called the Poetic Edda or the Prose Edda.
Yes.
In both ways, meaning like a collection of works, I believe is the right word for it.
I believe so. That's kind of how I understood it. There might be more to it than that, but that's kind of, I feel like, an easy way to think of it.
There's a bunch of stuff that are a bunch of stories compiled together, not necessarily by a single author, possibly with contributions from a lot of people, kind of the way you might think of the Grimm fairy tales as being a collection of disparate stories, except ones have a similar cast.
I think we've actually mentioned the Prose Edda before.
Possible Prose Edda.
It just sounded familiar. I feel like we've talked about it, and I could not tell you which episode, but I feel like we've brought it up at least once before.
I hope so, because it's great. There's also a specific author who's referenced a lot, Snorri Sturluson, which is the piece called the Heimskringla. Jeez. I always sound like I'm doing a bad accent when I read these, and I'm very sorry. But that is considered possibly post-contemporary, if you will, like, written after people held these gods as real and made up stories about them. It shares his name, Loki, shares a root with the same phrase for Daddy Longlegs, which is pretty neat. So, like, he does have spider elements.
That's funny.
And I didn't know that until we did this. I always associated him more with, like, want to say, like, a fox or something like that.
Yeah.
It's funny, I do think of maybe a snake or a coyote. Snake. But he plays a incredibly important role in a lot of things, including the creation of Thor's hammer, the end of the world. He is parent to both the snake who kills Thor, Jörmungand. Jörmungand is something different. He's parent to Hel, goddess of the underworld, parent of Fenrir, who kills Odin during Ragnarok. None of these are spoilers. I feel like there aren't many ancient religions that include, like, a detailed story of the end of the world.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But
I mean, I guess I haven't done that much reading into ancient lores of all over the world, but this is one of the ones that I guess does include it.
That's true. I guess it's more of a prophecy deal.
That's fair. We should probably say, I feel like a lot of people have probably the majority of the experience or knowledge they have about Loki might come from, like, Marvel and the comics and stuff. Oh. And we should throw out there really quick that while in, like, the MCU and the comics and stuff, Loki is Thor's brother.
Oh, he's definitely not.
He's, yeah, in the Norse stories, he's referred to as Odin's blood brother, so which meant that he was a brother by, like, this ritual of, like, blood mixing. It's actually a tradition of people who, like, kind of went through a lot together and, like, you owe your life to the other
like
person.
Like, brothers in arms.
But brothers in arms, yeah, but because of this, like, it kind of put him at god status in some stories. It depends on what you're reading.
We should say, his dad was a giant for sure, Farbauti, which I like because it sounds like foreboding.
Yeah, it means cruel striker.
Nice. That's cool. I wish that was my name. But his mother, who he actually has his full name, Loki Laufey or Laufey.
I think it's Laufey. That's the name that people would recognize because the frost giant in the Marvel is a man named Laufey, but Laufey in the stories is actually Loki's mother.
It's his mom.
Yeah.
Or Nal, or which means needle. No one is exactly sure what Laufey means. But
yeah, that one's
out of the two of them, it is specifically pointed out that his mother is more important. They're not sure if she's a goddess or a giantess or something else. There is no absolute source.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the reasons they thought that maybe she was named Nal or Needle. The meaning needle was that she was like probably frail, small, that sort of a thing. He also possibly had two brothers, mm-hmm. Hilblindi. I don't know if it's Hilblindi or Hilblindi. And then Baljastir, which are cool names.
And then he also had a lot of kids, but we can talk more about that in a minute. The Children of Loki is like a good catch-all term because he does have so many. Just got real into it. But I think the story we told possibly in an unaired episode, we might have talked about him hanging out at a party and getting kicked out for killing a servant. And then showing back up and just dissing all the gods.
That sounds about right.
Loki likes to cause trouble.
Yes.
And he apparently cannot stop causing trouble, but he also likes to not be in danger, so he usually solves... There's, like, one big problem that he doesn't solve and no one is happy about, but for the most part, he shows up, causes a little mischief, has a little fun, and then he fixes the horrible problem that he made.
That he himself caused, yes.
He seems to mostly just get bored a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, like, need to stir something up to kind of, like...
Like, there's no friggin' reason for him to cut off Sif's hair, but he does. So, Loki, because he's bored and extra, decides to cut off all of Sif's hair. Sif has beautiful golden hair, like, loads of it, and hair is very important, both spiritually and magically, in a different bunch of different mythologies. And then Loki gets threatened by Thor, who's very mad on his wife's behalf, and does threaten to hurt Loki very badly. And
oh, yes.
Loki says, "No, I will fix it, definitely." So he goes to the home of the dwarves, Svartalfheim. Svartalfheim. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Sorry Svartalfheim. To every language we ever try to read words out of that aren't our own.
I can barely read English.
Yeah, sorry English too as a baseline, but God, everyone else. Sorry.
I'm not sorry English. You deserved it. So he went down to the dwarves and said, "Hey, can you make her like a really great wig?" and they said absolutely, totally. They also made a really good ship, which is great. It always has a good wind, and you can fold it up and put it in your pocket. My favorite thing is its name, Skidbladnir, means assembled from thin pieces of wood.
Yeah, Very, very descriptive.
And then they also made Gungnir, which is the deadliest of all spears, which is pretty crazy. By the way, I'm referencing really heavily the website norsemythology.org. It's very good. And it seems to feature a lot of work by Dan McCoy. So possibly that is an author you should check out if you're very much into these myths.
Mm-hmm.
So Loki, because he is himself, can't, like, go back with the things that he got and go just be helpful. Like, hey, I got this thing for you. This is fine. He can't just frickin' do what he said he was gonna do. So he goes and he bothers the dwarves and just... he turns into a fly for some reason. Just because he's bored, I guess. So the thing is, he likes betting people. He likes making bets with people that he hopes that they can't win. And if they can win, he messes with them to make sure they can't. So he says they can never forge three new creations equal to those the sons of Ivaldi had fashioned, aka the hair and the boat and the spear. But the two brothers, Brokkr and Sindri, said, yeah, of course we can. So basically Loki spends the next week of his life or whatever just messing with all of these people. biting them and stinging them and being generally very annoying. And Sindri eventually makes Mjolnir, aka lightning, which is Thor's hammer, which is pretty neat. And they made a couple of things. They were sad about the short hammer. They thought it was bad, but there you go. And he just made, here's hair, here's hammer, here's spear. Take all of these fun gifts. This is fine. And then they also made some good old... sorry. I get really confused with these because there's a lot of back and forth where the myths diverge and then come back together. So Loki messed with these guys a lot, and he had at some point promised them his head for some reason as part of his wager, because Loki is incapable of doing anything halfway. And he said, I promised you my head, not your neck. So they said, okay, and then they sewed his mouth shut.
Yep. There's actually a lot of old art pieces that aren't, like, titled or labeled, like, really, really old stuff. That's one of the ways they can discern whether or not a figure in it is Loki, is if it has stitches across the mouth. They would know for sure that it was probably Loki.
Jeez. Jack Skellington over here. That's probably the one that I know the least well. That's why I got very confused about it. Loki can't help himself from just kind of being annoying and evil. The other two, which are non-disastrous, include the kidnapping of Idun. So Idun, you might know from Idun's apples, which were magic and kept the gods alive and youthful. So Greek gods, I think pretty universally, are conditionally immortal, where they can be killed in battle and stuff, but otherwise they stay young, and part of that is Idun's apple. But Loki, so they are all hanging out, trying to make some food, and then their food wasn't cooking, and they look up, and it's this big bird who says, hey, I'm stopping your fire from working. Give me the meat. Give me the meat, and when I eat everything I want, you can have the rest. And the gods said yes, because they were really hungry. And then this eagle flew down and ate, like, the best bits of what it was, and Loki, because he can't leave anything alone, decided to go and attack the eagle. But the eagle, who was enormous, just kind of picked him up and flew him into the sky.
Yep.
And Loki said, no, wait, please, I'll do anything, including bringing you the goddess Idun and her apples that you need to stay alive. This makes sense. Loki really likes to overpromise.
Yes, yeah. That's kind of one of his titular characteristics.
Which I feel is the reason he gets away with things in the first place, is because everyone says there's no way he could do that. It's fine. He brings her Idun, which is unfortunate because everyone gets real old. By the way, the bird is actually a a giant called Thiazi because everyone can shape change, except for when it's convenient. So the gods and goddesses, in the absence of the apples and in the absence of the goddess, get older, and it stinks, and no one likes it. They can't do war as good. And and all of them are like, Loki, Loki, go take care of this or we will kill you. Freya, who is, I think, Odin's wife, question mark? Goddess of fertility, things like that. Very magical lady. Gives him a hawk feather, which means that he can shapeshift into a hawk. Apparently not a giant hawk, because when he goes into Thiazi's realm, Thiazi's like out doing business. Loki turns Idun into a nut, and then takes her back. Thiazi comes back, sees his nut wife is gone, and tries to follow him back to Asgard. But Loki apparently is flying faster, or at least has enough of a head start that they light a fire. And then Thiazi, it's kind of like closing the elevator door on someone, except it's fire and they explode into flame. So they do get rid of Thiazi, but again, it's kind of just Loki's fault. He's kind of just there to fix problems he himself caused.
The follow-up to that one is after Thiazi's death, his daughter shows up, it, like, demanding to be, like, retribution or whatever for her father's death.
Oh, yeah.
And her one of her demands is that the gods make her laugh, but only Loki's able to do that. So he ties, like, a rope to the beard of a goat, and then the other one to his junk, and then it's basically just a tug of war between him and the goat, just like shrieking back and forth.
And she can't help but laugh, is that these two idiots yelling at each other.
And so she laughs, and that's that story.
Where's that scene in my Marvel movie?
Yeah, come on, Marvel.
Yeah, I'd like that for all of the big things, there are also smaller, sillier things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Gosh, there's so many. So there's one where I think we already talked about the one where he just shows up and disses everyone and basically
I feel like he does that often.
It's kind of his thing, but
he likes to goad and insult and just kind of wreak havoc when he's bored.
He's just bored all the time. Except for when he's terrified for his life. Those are like his two states.
Yeah, then he's quick to action, then he's efficient.
The gods and goddesses were like, oh man, I would like a giant wall around our kingdom. Wouldn't that be awesome? Except they asked for Freya's hand in marriage and the sun and moon, which is like, we want your queen and then also the sun and moon. It was a giant. Anyway, Loki said, okay, but 30 minutes or less, here is your time. You only get 30 days or whatever. I'm sorry. It's 3. I don't know why I said 30. That's so much longer. What inefficient citadel building. And he said, okay, yeah, I can totally build it in that time. And Loki said, cool, sure. And then he was doing it and was doing a very good job. And the giant smith was like, gonna finish on time. And Loki was like, oh God, I may have given them not enough time. If we give them the sun and moon, then everything will stink. Please don't kill me. Loki said, I got this. Please, I got this. Another problem that I did make.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. So the giant smith had this stallion called a Svaldifari, this like enormous magic stallion. And Loki said, hey, I know a ploy for that. The old Bugs Bunny approach, where he shapeshifted into a mare. No explanation is given for why he needed a gift from Freya to turn into a bird, but can turn into a like a full-on mare whenever, right?
At will.
By the way, I have to read the text from this website because it's hilarious. When the stallion saw the mare, his heart wasn't the only organ that roused with the light and lust. So unnecessary. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Svaldafari, basically the workhorse for this giant smith, ran after Loki and went away, and then they did it. And when the giant finished his wall, which he couldn't in time, by the way, because they took his workhorse, the gods just killed him. I just, like, they could have at least given him something instead of just like, you're no longer useful to us. Anyway, okay. Loki fell pregnant and eventually gave birth to a 8-legged horse named Sleipnir. Mm-hmm. Sleipnir?
One of the two.
And then Odin took that horse as a steed.
Yep.
You know when you're just, like, mother to a child and your best friend's like, hey, I need a horse. And you're like, sure.
Sure. Your blood brother. Kid. Technically, your kid's, like, sort of uncle.
Basically, oh, your nephew here. What a great horse. Hey, this is my nephew, a horse.
With 8 legs, who will be your sister, who will be my steed.
Ugh. I mean, look. He did technically solve the problem. And then the other, like, big story. So he does have the child of the wolf Fenrir. There's this whole other story where they try and tie Fenrir up and then he cuts off the hand of a smith. And it's all very... I feel like we could talk about it later because it would be fun to talk about Ragnarok more specifically. Ooh,
yeah. That could be cool.
But he has many children's. He's the son of... Fenrir is the son of the giantess Angerboda and Loki, which makes him the sibling to Hel, goddess of the underworld, and to the serpent Jörmungand, which I love that Loki and the goddess have 3 kids, big snake, big wolf, and goddess of the underworld.
Yes.
Every time I read Fenrir, I think of the boss from, I think it's from Dark Souls, where it's just a real big wolf holding a sword in its mouth.
Yep, yep.
What an excellent enemy design. So for some reason all of his kids have a huge hand in Ragnarok, and that might be because he's associated with death and dying and pain and stuff like that, but he kind of gets away with everything he does right up until Baldur.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we talked about Baldur in an unaired episode. I don't know. Look, the point is Baldur is the best god, and everyone loves him. He's the handsomest, the nicest.
Just the most beloved.
Just the best, like, 100%. Although, you wonder how much of this is, like, after the fact, like, he was the best.
Yeah.
All Loki's fault. No, everyone loved him a whole bunch. Just so sweet, so kind. And then, I think it's Freya. Oh, sorry. Baldur has dreams of his death. I don't know why I thought Freya did. Baldur had a dream that he would die, and Frigg freaked out. Frigg's his mom, went and talked to literally everyone on the entire earth. Oh, there's a part that this doesn't mention where Odin pretends to be someone else. He does that in almost every story. He goes to Hel and he sees that they're, like, setting up for a party in Hel. So Baldur has dreams of his death. Odin dresses up, goes to the underworld, sees that they're, like, gilding the floors in gold and setting up for a big party, and he's like, hey, what's all this for? And this old spectral woman's like, the god Baldur's gonna come and we're gonna have a great time. And Odin freaks out, and then they realize who he is, and they won't tell him, you know, they won't tell him what, like, how he's gonna die, right? They're like, no, you're not allowed to know. We want our big party. And all of the gods freak out because everyone loves Baldur. So his mom, Frigg, goes all around trying to figure out what's going to kill him. So she's just like, I'll just get promises from everything in the world not to kill him. That's fine, right? So goes around to literally everything in the entire world. Like, grass, plants, rocks, like, spears, weapons. Says, you're not gonna kill him, right? Talks to all the wild animals, and they all say, no, we would never kill him. We promise. We love that guy. Huh, that guy? Not gonna kill him.
Love him. Love him.
The only one she doesn't manage to get a promise from is Mistletoe. But everyone's like, who cares? cares? Mistletoe's not going to kill anyone. It's fine. It's not even poisonous.
My favorite line from the place that I saw this was, well, almost everything. No such oath is obtained from mistletoe, which the gods think too small and safe a thing to harm Baldur.
Yeah, so I think this is probably fine. Like, it's cool. Now, what they could do is just say, like, that's great. Let's all continue our lives. They say, no, let's have a party where we all throw and shoot things at Baldur. Because, you know, that would be fun, where everyone just does that and they're like, ha ha ha, look, it's fine, he can't die. And everyone gets really excited. Loki sees this literal party where people are throwing weapons at Baldur. This is genuinely a thing they're all doing. And like laughing and having a great time. Loki, because he can't stop himself and also because this is a stupid thing to be doing in the first place, makes a spear out of mistletoe. And he gives it to the blind god Hodur, who's also Baldur's brother. And and he chucks it at Baldur and it kills him right dead, because it was a good spear. And guess what? Maybe you shouldn't have a party where you're like, haha, I'm so immortal. Can't nothing can kill me.
Oh, man.
But they do, and he dies, and the gods actually all go to the underworld and are like, please, can we have him back? It was a mistake, please. Hel says, look, if everyone in the entire world will cry unless you get Baldur back, then you can have him. And the messenger returns and tells them this, and they go to everyone in the world, and everyone cries for Baldur except a giantess named Tonks. Pok? It's hard to... Pok? Talk?
Talk. Means thanks.
Everyone thinks is definitely Loki in disguise, does not cry. So Baldur was doomed to hell forever. And as eventual punishment, I believe, it's directly related that he gets tied to the rock, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Loki has a son, like, with his actual wife, so Sigyn. They have their son, Nari or Narfi. I'd always heard Narfi. And they say, you killed Baldur at the party where we were all throwing weapons at him. It's your fault. Which, like, yeah, technically it is, but also don't have a party where you just crow about how someone's invincible. I guess it wasn't, like, a trope. Or maybe, do you think it's any warning against people reading it, like, hey, don't gloat about being great, because something bad will happen.
Probably.
I hope so. Don't have a big party where you're like, haha, I'm immortal, because you'll definitely die.
Because you will definitely die.
Anyway, as punishment, despite having done, I don't know, worse things in the past, what they do is the gods gut his son, Narfi, use Narfi's guts to tie Loki to a rock. And then there's a snake whose mouth is dripping with venom above him, and his poor wife sits there with a bowl until the end of the world, literally, until Ragnarok, sits there with a bowl to catch the venom, but every once in a while the bowl gets full, so she has to leave the cave that they're stuck in to go and dump it out, and the venom is so powerful and painful that he screams in pain. It's like, gosh. No offense, but this seems kind of overkill in light of literally everything else.
His writhing in pain and agony.
Oh,
those
yeah.
convulsions are what creates earthquakes, though. So
in case
fun.
You ever had an earthquake, it turns out it's Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he basically is doomed to be there until Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty dark considering the previous stuff he's got away with. Look,
yeah.
I'm not saying that Baldur deserved to die, because he didn't. But I'm saying that maybe don't have that big party.
maybe don't have that party.
Ugh. I feel kind of bad, especially for his son Narfi, who I guess could have been evil.
Probably
somehow,
didn't do anything.
Just,
to my
yeah.
knowledge.
Hey, don't punish the child for sins of the father. Is that it? But anyway, the reason we wanted to talk about Loki this month, well, Caitlin's is extremely busy. Like, I'm just hanging out, but Caitlin is doing a lot of cool stuff this summer. You should check out her Twitter for updates and stuff. But
so many things.
We wanted to at least talk about someone queer for Pride, and Loki is definitely that, because he is gender fluid in a lot of myths.
Yeah.
As a result of shapeshifting, but also, like, is the mother of Sleipnir, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we just wanted to include at least kind of a gender fluid hero question mark.
Yeah.
Character, I guess. Man, I still feel bad about Narfi.
Yeah. Narfi didn't do anything wrong. Free Narfi.
Free Narfi.
2K19.
Hashtag free Narfi 2K19. Mm. Yeah. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different theories about Loki, the entity himself. There are some people who claim that he's a god of fire, or like a fire giant, but also some people think that might just be a cross-contamination between
Utgarda Loki? Was that his name?
Potentially, yeah. The L-O-G-I, which potentially is also just another name for Loki, or is its own entity Loki. Entirely. That's one thought. One ideation is that maybe he's a variant of, like, Lucifer of Christianity, which doesn't make sense, but that's what some people think. Potentially part of Odin, part of something to that weird effect. People talk about him just like a typical trickster figure. There was thoughts, like we mentioned earlier, that maybe Loki was originally a spider. And then there was, this was very funny, Anne Holtzmark, writing in 1962, concluded that no conclusion could be made about Loki.
Wonderful.
It's a lot. He's got a lot going on. One thing I saw was, like, from the Prose Edda, this was a quote from the that collection of prose and poetry. Quote, is handsome and fair of face, but has an evil disposition and is very changeable of mood. He has excelled all men in the art of cunning, and he always cheats. He is continually evolving the Aesir in great difficulties, and he often helps them out again by guile. So that's very fun. In the 19th century, he kind of was depicted in different ways, sometimes contradicting all different depictions. Like, there's been a lot of Loki. He kind of varied, specifically in the 19th century, because it was sometimes presented as, like, this dark-haired columnist during the Nordic Aesir, but sometimes he was described as, like, the Nordic Prometheus and the heroic bearer of culture and, like, this whole ordeal, which, like, he's done a lot, although most of the problems he created and then fixed, but, like, he has a lot of hands, even if he isn't specifically a deity, even though he is sometimes depicted as one, maybe it's just in cahoots with the gods, just kind of someone who is always around or actually is, maybe because of the blood pact with Odin elevates him to god status. There's a lot going on.
I just, in the grand scheme of things, especially compared to things that, like, Odin and Thor have done, I feel kind of bad for Loki, but maybe that's just because Loki is kind of, like, fun.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just fun party evil. Kid. He's a shit, but you kind of like him anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about, like, he's very tricky, very much, like, conniving a little bit, but he's also considered a good a warrior as any. He's a lot more cunning, so maybe would try to get out of actual combat things and into more, like, trickery stuff. He's very sly, but he's also very powerful and is considered a warrior. He was considered the god of chaos and temptation and sex. He had tons of lovers, from trolls and horses to the Queen Frigg herself, apparently, and then Sif, as we mentioned earlier. And he was supposed to be, potentially, was maybe interpreted as, like, the voice of evil, which maybe isn't the right word, in people's minds and, like, the darkness in your hearts. Like, I feel like that's so intense. Like, I don't think he's necessarily evil. I think he's just, like, an antagonist. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he also, this is my favorite fact I learned, ate a woman's heart and bore the first witch.
Aha!
I like that fact a lot. I think that's very cool.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's got a lot of cool sick tricks. As we mentioned, shape-shifting, turning into animals, can create, like, decoy things, I guess. He has this just wild charisma, incredibly intelligent, can, like, mask fear, I guess, is one thing. Something wild can manipulate fire in some stories, but maybe that's just a crossover of that maybe fire giant connection. Who knows if that's, like, part of the original myth or not. Like I said, can, like, transform, can be any gender or animal or anything, maybe by the help of feathers from Freya, but maybe on his own volition, has like illusions, is very intuitive, and can be invisible. And I believe some stories mention invisibility, but it's got a lot going on. One other thing that I really enjoyed was, this is, quote, scholar Gabriel Turville Petra comments, this was in 1964, that more ink has been spilled on Loki than any other figure in Norse myth. This in itself is enough to show how little scholars agree and how far we are from understanding him, which I dig a ton. I think it's very fun and a good culmination of, wow, there's so many different variations and people have so many different opinions of them, and there's like modern retellings and we don't have an exact pinpoint of where he came from, if he was just kind of appeared or whatever, but we know he's part of the original ancient mythos in these stories. He's an integral piece of a lot of these stories, especially like if you were to read through the prose Edda, there are a couple of them. I don't remember which ones off the top of my head, but there are specific segments that are about him and his mischief specifically, and it's very fun.
I just feel like it's a fun character.
It's very fun.
One of my favorite. Oh, I should say that there's, at least in the witch myth, I think it's also gender fluid in that one, because he's described as becoming pregnant and giving birth, mm-hmm. as opposed to just fathering a child, which is pretty neat. Mm-hmm. I feel like not only is Loki fun, but also he's fun again because he gets played by cute old Tom Hiddleston. Took me a second to remember, but I was mostly thinking he's very good in Crimson Peak, and I feel like they look very similar in those two movies, so I always think of them as the same character, even though they're very much not.
That's funny.
Very different character in the Marvel movies, but mm-hmm. again, kind of that same thing of like, troublesome, but you still like him.
But you still like him. Maybe he has a redemption arc. Maybe.
Maybe, question maybe, mark. You know what? I like him.
It's fun. Fun character. But yeah, it was kind of fun like reading things. I actually did like a little bit of a deep dive into someone doing like an analysis of Loki throughout the comics, because there was a comic, I don't remember when it was. It was kind of recently, I think, where Loki was a woman. Mm-hmm. And referred to as she, her, and there is a panel in a very overly sentimental for Odin, which a lot of, like, the Marvel Odin, not Norse Odin, where he refers to something to the effect of my son and daughter and child who is both, or something like that. So it's, like,
aww.
Very lightly overly sentimental for Odin, but kind of cool.
Marvel Odin is not a very good parent.
Not a great dad. Nope. Not a good dad. Not great at all. But yeah, it was kind of an interesting synopsis. I also got really into a lot of comment sections of a lot of different things where people were arguing. And some, I don't know if this was someone who was just a history buff or an actual historian or something, or a folklorist or whatever, who was so pissed in the comments of one of these things where they were talking about, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe Loki is not the original Loki, and I cannot believe that you, you could get them confused. They're so different. Like, oh my god, it was, like, there was, like, shit written in caps. Like, it was very heated in this person. I don't even know I couldn't even see who they were replying to. Like, it was so funny. I did get some of my fun facts from that post, though, because I was like, oh, okay, this is put in a very blunt way, and I don't have to siphon through all the stuff, but it was just very funny because they're very heated about
shockingly,
how could you?
The comic book superhero character is not the same person as the mythological figure.
Just inspired by, pretty much. They draw heavily from it, but they do not match exactly, which is good to know when you're looking at stuff like that.
Marvel Loki a whole bunch. I think he's a lot of fun. he appears in a Miss Marvel comic. That's very good.
Oh, really?
She gets very mad at him. He goes to their prom and causes trouble. Because he's got important stuff going on.
He needs to be there. He needs to be there, of course.
Yeah. Pop culture? Question mark?
Yeah. So we don't really have much of a D&D corner, really. Loki does show up in the Norse pantheon in 5e, which is, you know, they've got, like, the... There's, like, the Greek pantheon, whatever, mm-hmm. and, like, the ones that are specifically for made for D&D worlds, but there is a Norse pantheon and Loki is in there. But that isn't, I couldn't really find anything official as far as a stat block for Loki. However, I did find quite a few people who make 5e stat sheets for MCU characters, and I did find a couple of them for Loki.
Oh, lovely.
So if you're interested in that, you can go find someone's build for what Loki might be in 5e, which is very fun. But other than that, that's all I've really got for D&D Corner this
boy.
Week.
Yeah. Apparently Loki shows up in... Apparently the mask in The Mask
is
a mask of Loki, which
yep.
I hate. Hate that.
I believe he shows up in one of the movies. Loki is like one of the later ones. Son of the Mask, maybe?
Son of the Mask, played by Alan Cumming, though. So.
Yeah, yeah. Who's, like, I believe, one of your favorites?
I really like him.
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. In my brain, like, that's who should be playing him all the time. Also in 8 Days of Luke by Diana Wynne Jones. I love Diana Wynne Jones. I've not read 8 Days of Luke, but I do know him in American Gods, which has recently...
Yeah.
Let's go find out who's playing. Played by Jonathan Tucker
in American Gods?
American Gods.
Yeah.
It's in exactly one episode of Criminal Minds, so...
Most actors, I feel like, end up in either SV or Criminal Minds.
He's been in both.
Yep. There's Warriors Orochi 4, like you said, 8 Days of Luke. There's a thing called Gospel of Loki. Rick Riordan's The Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard, which makes sense that he would be there. There's The Sandman, like you said, The Mask. Wagner's Opera Cycle, Ring of Nibelung.
The Ring Cycle.
Almighty Thor, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, Supernatural, The Almighty Johnsons, Valkyrie Profile, Smite, Age of Mythology, God of War. I guess a band called Rancid has a song written about Loki.
Uh-huh.
Which is very fun. Yeah, and I'm sure there's more in, like, all of the Marvel, like, there's the animated ones, too. He shows up in some of those. But,
Corbin Burnson is in the American Gods adaptation. Sorry, I get really anxious about watching adaptations of books I really like, so I never
As
end
you
up
should.
Doing it. Warriors Orochi 4. I want to see those first three. Oh, it's a video game. Never mind. Thought it was like some kind of fun fight movie series.
Does sound like it might be.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Loki? I like all of them.
They're all very fun.
I've just I have to look up a picture of Alan Cumming as Loki. Okay, you should Google it, because Alan Cumming is, like, very good looking, but he has the worst hair in the entire world. Imagine, like, a middle school mom's imagination of what anime hair should look like.
Oh my god.
It's amazing. Like, I wonder if they said, hey, can you give Alan Cumming a hairstyle that makes him look like an asshole?
Oh my god, I remember this.
Oh god. I just...
Is Alan Cummings in the Smurfs movie?
Apparently.
Amazing.
I just, like, Alan Cumming is so naturally handsome that they gave him just a Naruto hairstyle with hair gel.
It's very good.
Imagine if he had, like, a cool hairstyle. Everyone would have been crazy.
Why forget that he's Nightcrawler?
How could you forget that he's Nightcrawler? Sorry.
I haven't seen him in a while.
This has been the Alan Cumming Appreciation Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Alan Cumming Appreciation Show. Our next episode goes up Sunday, June 23rd. Maybe. I might be in California next weekend.
We'll see.
No, just kidding. False. Take that back. Our next episode probably goes up June 23rd. I might be at Pride next weekend.
Yay!
The following weekend, I might be in California, but we are taking that week off. So, reminder that June 30th, we will not be having an episode because we'll be attempting to prep a small backlog of multi-parts of an episode to queue up while I am gone in July, because I will be gone almost all of July. Also, while we're talking about traveling, Bernadette and I are going to Gen Con this year.
Yay.
So if you're going to be there and you see us meandering around, you can always feel free to stop and say hi. We'd love to say hello. Let's see. Oh, a cool thing that I'm working on just got announced. Kirsten Vangsness is running a Kickstarter to take two of her plays to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a little later this year. And as part of certain reward tiers for supporting them in their travels, I got hired to help make part of their play Cleo, Theo, and Woo and adapt it into a comic. So if you want to support that cool show and cool creator and get some comics in return, you can check out Theater of Note on Kickstarter.
Speaking of Criminal Minds.
But yeah, I'm really excited about that, and that's going to be pretty much all of my time until I leave, and then as soon as I get back, all of my time. But I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. Other news, we have a coffee, so if you have a couple of bucks you'd like to throw at us to support this show, you can find us at ko-fi.com/stone. House's Cast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share a show with a friend, rate, review, subscribe. For real, sharing and leaving reviews and like tweeting about us, talking about our show in public spaces on like public social media is so just unbelievably helpful, and it makes you very cool. So we thank you for being the coolest. You can check us out at Stonehouses Cast on Twitter and Instagram and facebook.com/stonehousescast. And as always, if you follow us on Twitter, you get early sneak peeks at topic art and sometimes extra bits after the show and polls and weird stuff like that. Thank you so much to everyone who has been tweeting about us and posting about our show and promoting us and sharing us with others. We appreciate you getting the word out. This week's shout-outs go to Matthew and Luke, who, this is an old thanks, but I don't know if I ever actually thanked. Luke did some drawings based on silly conversations we had about centaurs and mermaids in the Kelbies episode, and I don't think I ever thanked them on the show, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too can post about us and tag us at Stonehouses Cast or using hashtag Stonehouses Cast so we can see it and appreciate you and talk about Alan coming at the end of the episode together.
I accidentally scrolled too far and saw stills from Spy Kids, and then I had to close the browser.
Amazing. This has been Stonehouses, an amateur guide to fiction, fable, and folklore. I'm Caitlin Bruder.
And I'm Laura Bruder at Meeker.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye. See you next time.
Bye.